Well, hello, all you beautiful chicks and dudes of all sorts. This is Suave Rob Suarez, the bitchin' double X daredevil star of Suave Rob's Amazing Ass Saving Association, here with another ass-saving tip, totally free from me to you, to help you save your ass so you can live to sit another day. Now, back in the day when dudes were dudes, this one dude, Benchmark Bob, buddy of mine, he had this little accident. He tried frying up an egg when he was totally hammered. So he washed a pan, then didn't dry it, then put a shitload of butter in it, then turned on the heat. Well, when you do that, chicks and dudes, the water makes the oil go splatso all over your own personal face. And good old Benchmark got his bench marked, if you know what I mean.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions. Episode 869. This is a follow-up to yesterday's question from Charles. After we recorded, we got to talking, and I realized that I left an important part out of the answer. So, Charles, this one's for you. To refresh everyone's memory, Charles had asked about finding the magic again when you know too much to do the foolish things that younger people do, and you feel a great deal of perfectionism, performance pressure, fear, and that sort of thing. One of the things that we didn't talk about was the nature of performance pressure. A lot of what I talked about yesterday was about finding ways around the performance pressure. And that's not quite the whole story. There are two kinds of performance pressure, and they hit different, and the break threshold for them is going to differ depending on who you are. But basically, everyone's got the performance pressure that makes them stand up and perform, and then there's the performance pressure that makes you curl up and die. Now, one of the things about life is that the higher that threshold is, where the more pressure makes you stand up and perform, the more you can get done. But that's something that you work up to. Some of it's inborn, but it's one of the things you can work up to, even if you're generally a shy or retiring person. But it occurred to me that one of the things that comes with adulthood is the scaling back of expectations. Charles said in his question that he didn't want to conquer the world. He just wanted to write good books and make a decent amount of money and carve out a little corner of the universe for himself. It's a very mature, very reasonable type of goal. And that might be part of the problem. There are things that are scary, that are scary for reasons you may not know entirely why they are. But when you have the kind of fear that immobilizes you, you need something that allows you to make that fear less important than the thing you want to do. And for some people, if your ambitions are decidedly modest, the potential payoff, either in money or in ego points, is just not going to get you up in the morning. There's not enough there to motivate you. Sometimes you have to shoot for the moon if you want to wind up in orbit. It's a very normal thing that happens to people, especially as they approach middle age, where their ambitions get attenuated. And then they fail to reach them, and so they set the goal further in. And it creates this inward spiral of capability, because the less far you reach, the less far you can grasp. And if you're always setting your ambitions where you think you can reach, and then because you're confident you can get there, or because you're still a little trepidatious, you don't quite put in the effort to hit that and surpass it, then you're going to wind up 10, 20 years down the line not being able to reach at all. You're not going to want to. Why bother? Everything you've done has been a miserable failure. You've never hit a single goal, and you don't have anything to show for it anyway, because your goals were not so ambitious that they yielded their own rewards even in failure. I don't know if this is your particular psychological trap, Charles, but I wanted to mention it. It could be that one of the problems is that because you no longer wear a young man's clothes, you don't have a young man's ambition. Maybe you need to be reckless. Maybe you need to say, look, I'm going to write 5 books this year, and 2 of them are going to sell 100,000 copies, and I'm going to bust my ass and do whatever it takes to get there. Well, if you did that, you might not write 5 books, and you might not sell 100,000 copies of 2 of them. In fact, unless you're very lucky, you probably won't, especially going from a standing start. But you will get at least 2 books done, and you will sell more books than you would have if you hadn't put the work into learning how to market and manage your audience and acquire a tribe. The kinds of failures that lead to ongoing success are the failures that are failures because the goals were too ambitious, but you were fully committed to them anyway. And that after the failure, you sit and you re-examine and you figure out what you gained and where you fell short. And instead of setting the next goal in a reasonable place, you set it strategically in an unreasonable place, so that you know you're probably going to fall short, but you're willing to go balls out for it anyway. Because even if you make half the trip, you're going to be in a way better position than you are now. For some people, that kind of pressure is just too much and it will make them fold. And incrementalism is the best way. For other people, incrementalism sucks all the motivation out of life, and it will never go anywhere. Incremental progress, in either case, is what you're after. But if you're the kind of person who has to get excited about what they're doing in order to get over the fear hump, the performance pressure hump, then you would be making a grave, grave tactical error to set for yourself unexciting goals. Anyway, I thought it would be worth mentioning. Thank you again, Charles, for the fantastic question. It gave us 2 episodes. Hurrah! Please do send in more questions. God knows we need them. And we will be back tomorrow, at least, and for the next couple of days, and hopefully for many, many days after that. See ya.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty McKeon and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.
Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.